this. There's many times in our life where we have opportunities to change, that we can learn one thing or two things or something that could really have an impact and change our life. But the more opportunities we give ourselves to have God speak to us, the better the chances that we're going to have God speak to us and we're going to hear and respond. So I think it's really wise, you know, to keep your heart open to, you know, like when we have opportunities, and this is not an attendance thing because, like, honestly, you guys are awesome. But, like, honestly, when you get an opportunity, so we have spring conference coming up, you know, we have different things that happen in church, but get out and hear God's word. But not only just get out and hear God's word, there's so many talented and gifted writers that God's put in his church that will help you, right? So this is a book I've been preaching out of. I think it's a really probably a worthwhile book. It's the best $20 you'll probably spend in a long time. So it's called Renewing the Mind 2.0. It's by a guy named Casey Treat and his wife Wendy write it together. It's a really good book. It'll help you. It'll help you remember some of the things we've been talking about, because basically, like, that's what I'm preaching out of right now. Preaching out of the Bible, obviously, but like his message on renewing the mind. I remember hearing it. Like, I remember when we were young and just married, Christine used to listen to him on TV in the morning preaching on the same thing, renewing the mind. It's been his life message. So, you know, get the book, like, honestly, or borrow it. There's a bunch of people in the church that already have it. Just ask around. Read the book. It'll be helpful for you. I was just reading another book called Simplify by Bill. I can't remember his name now. He's pastor of Willow Creek Church. Bill Hybels, and it's like just was reading last night. It's called Simplify. And I don't know about you, but sometimes life just starts running you over, right? You get so much going on, you make yourself so overcommitted, and you get tired and you're challenged. So I was just reading last night for about an hour in this book, and just one of the things that jumped out to me in the book was this question. Are you planning your life, when you set your calendar, are you setting your calendar to get something done? Or are you setting your calendar to become something? So, like, when my kids were young, I was at church a lot in the evenings. But one of the things I committed to is every evening I made sure I was home for supper. And when I was home for supper, I was always there for the kids. So it was one of the things that when I made my schedule for the week, one of the things my goal was to become a good father. We sang about that today, becoming a good father. I wanted to be a good husband to Christine. And so, like, you set your schedule. So are you setting your schedule to get something done, which isn't bad, but or are you setting it to become something? And what are you becoming? So when you set your schedule, are you setting some time aside to encounter God? Are you making time in your calendar? So if somebody calls you, and so you work between 9 and 5, right? And someone calls you and says, well, can we have lunch on Tuesday at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock, whatever time? And you say, no, I've got to work at that time. That's in my schedule. It's got to get done, right? But how many of you, if you have time scheduled with the Lord, so say if your time with the Lord is between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning or 6:30 and 7 in the morning, and someone says, well, could we get together for breakfast at 6:30? Many times we won't think of that as a real schedule item. We'll just say, well, yeah, I think I can make it. And we put that aside. But what are you scheduling to become? Like, are you trying to become connected to God? Are you making room in your life for that kind of thing? Where are your priorities? So I just wanted to challenge you. I thought that was a really powerful thing. I really felt God speaking that aloud. It's something that I don't actually have a written schedule. I think I probably should have one, but I have a good mind to keep my schedule, you know. But I have things that I do every day, and I'm not going to interrupt that schedule generally for anything, because I am trying to build something into my life. And so when we're talking about renewing your mind, we're talking about building something into your life. We're talking about not living haphazardly or by accident, but by living on purpose and planting God into your life and planting his word into your life. And and start to be disciplined. The best way to change anything in your life is with some discipline. You know, like, I mean, I think parents who raise kids and the kids just do whatever they want, and the kids are like, parents don't really stop them and corral them and put some boundaries around them. They think they're being helpful and healthy parents doing that. But when you see somebody with no boundaries in their life, they never really learn how to develop boundaries, and so their life is generally out of control. Like, there are some things in life that we need to have boundaries around. So developing a discipline in your life is really important. And some people are so overbooked that to develop a discipline seems to be too much time for them. But the only way to really get hold of your time, to get hold of your life, is to develop discipline in your life, is to set some things in your life that these are important things. So we're talking about renewing your mind by His Word. And so the idea that we're just kind of exploring through this series is the idea I talked a few weeks ago about how one biblical thought changed our whole family tree, changed our whole family's course, changed everything for us as a family. And how that if we could start thinking the thoughts of God, how much that would impact our future. How we think, the Bible said, do not be conformed. This is what one of the scriptures we've been using is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's found in Romans 12, verse 1 or 2. And so, like, the idea is that we need to be transformed. We need to have our thoughts changed. We need to start thinking the thoughts of Jesus so we can live the life of Jesus, so we can have an impact in our world the way Jesus did. We're never going to be Jesus. I'm not trying to preach you can be Jesus, but we can grow into the maturity, the Bible said, that we would become fully mature and in the image of Christ, is what the Bible actually says. So we need to develop as believers and really start to change the way we think. Because so many times when we hear something and we react to something, it's not biblical in how we think and react. Because our inner thoughts, and we talked about this last week, we talked about our go-to thoughts, right? We talked about how we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, right? That our go-to thoughts often control what we do and how we react and respond to something without even thinking, right? So I use the illustration that almost everybody can relate to, and hopefully everybody can relate to, because hopefully everybody uses this product. Toilet paper, right? So when you live in a house and you have a certain way of putting the toilet paper on the roll, and some people, they roll it underneath. Other people, they roll it over top. And the people that roll it underneath are crazy. And so because my go-to thought is whenever the toilet paper gets on the roll, it should come over the top, right? And when I go to your house and it's rolled the other way, it's everything I could do not to switch the roll and make it go the way I like it, because it just kind of like makes me crazy. I'm probably not this crazy. I'm just trying to make a point here. But we all have things in our hearts and in our lives that we've learned by habit, by that's the way it's always been done at our house. That's the way we do things. And because of that, we react and respond in certain ways. Some people, you know, our house, we learned to react and respond in prayer. So even as kids, we use that a little bit. You know, like whenever I wanted a day off school, I would never go to my mom and say, I'm sick. I would go to my mom and say, could you pray for me? Because I knew she would respond in prayer, and then she would say, oh, go back to bed. It's okay. And the bus would pass by another day. And she said, it's always amazing how my kids always feel better after the bus goes by. Well, I never said I was sick. I just asked you to pray for me. But we all have our ways that we learn and ways that we are respond to things. Like, so people that, you know, are born into a home that really is worried about sickness all the time. That, you know, they, every time somebody gets sick, they have their routine. Get this out, get that out, put this here, put that there, and let's get ready. We're gonna fight this with our cod liver oil and our vaporizers, and we're going to get this. We're going to get through this. You know, or they worry, right? Like, so somebody says, I have a headache. Well, you know, like, so this is what Aubrey's sister's going through a bit right now. She had headaches, so they found a tumor, right? But this is a real thing. But a lot of people, as soon as they have a headache, then they're like, oh, no. What could it be? And they start this whole worry thing. And now, because of the advent of the internet, right, they get online and they look. Well, this is the symptoms. So now you could have everything in these symptoms from just a knock on the noodle to, like, you know, a brain tumor, right? Because, like, well, did you get hit in the head? Yeah. Well, then you have a headache. Okay. That's fine. But mostly people take it the other way. And they take it to extremes and they worry and they worry and they worry and they worry. People that grew up with lack, you know, like, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. We were I don't want to make this, it's just a joke, but we were so poor we couldn't pay attention, right? So we were like, so we didn't have a lot. You know, we lived on hand-me-downs. So like, my tendency for a long time, even in our beginning of our married life, was to always worry about money. To be, you know, thinking that, well, it's going okay today, but we might not have anything tomorrow, so we should maybe hold on to it a little bit, you know? And then for a while, it was like, well, now we have some money, let's spend it. So we were just like, it just created all kinds of weird thoughts and thinking in our life. So we were controlled, not because of what we were thinking that day, but because of preconceived ideas, like things that were deeply rooted in our hearts. Right? Like, I grew up in a church that was fairly like, you know, God's out to get you. Right? Like, when we were young, very young. God, you know, like, if you do this, God's going to do that. If you don't show up for church on church twice on Sundays, you're probably going to go to hell. Kind of, it was pretty strict, you know. And so for a long time, I fought with the idea that God was always out to get me. That God was angry. That God was an angry God. So if I made a mistake, I got really, you know, ashamed and really scared of what God would do. And so those are thoughts that are in your heart that control the way you think, that are deeply rooted, right? So today I want to talk about those kind of thoughts. Thoughts that are strongholds. Thoughts that are stubborn thoughts. Ones that don't give up so easy, right? Like, for a long time in my life, I felt like everything I touched turned crap. Like, everything that I did, nothing ever worked out the way it should work out. So I stopped getting hopeful when things started going good, because it just felt like things were going to fall apart. Like, honestly, I'm just telling you the truth here, right? So for a long time, that really affected how I thought. It was a stubborn thought. It was a stronghold in my mind, and I needed to deal with that stronghold. I guarantee you that everybody here today has some kind of stronghold in your way of thinking that causes you to act and react in ways that aren't biblical. So the goal that we have as believers is to root out those strongholds, those thoughts that control us, that make us do things without thinking. The Bible talks about that. If you read Romans 12 in the Message Bible, it says, you know, don't easily fit into this world's way of thinking the world's way of doing things without even thinking. Right? Because that's what we've learned to do, is this is the way the world works, right? But we need to think about this in a different way. So today we're going to read from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. And it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So just to think about this part that says, casting down or pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if you've walked with the Lord for a while, right, I met a lot of people in my life that we do an altar call for salvation, that same person will put up their hand four or five different times, because they feel like that they've lost their salvation at some point along the way. They feel like that God has given up on them, that God can't love them anymore because they're too bad, that God is now really kind of against them and not for them. But as we grow as believers, and as we have a worship service like we had this morning, where we talk about the love of God, you know, there's scripture in the Bible that says, what can remove us from the love of God? Neither height, nor depth, nor, you know, whatever. There's nothing that can take us away from the love of God. So in our hearts and in our minds, we start to understand the love of God for us. We, like I've said this before, since I became a father, I understand the Father's love for His children. So I've learned to know that God loves me. So now, when arguments come against my mind that say, well, you've done something that's too bad this time, God can't love you, God can't forgive you, are you really even a Christian? In my heart, I know, and I have an answer ready that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say if I'm good enough. It doesn't say if I perform enough. It doesn't say any of that. It says if I believe in Him, I'll have everlasting life. And the Bible says that what could separate me from the love of God? And it talks about how that before I was of any use to God whatsoever, He loved me. He put His love on display. He died for me. And so when I think about God, I know this, that when I gave my heart to Jesus, my relationship is secure. My relationship with Him is strong. I don't have to worry about Him walking out the door on me. I don't have to worry about that I fell away too far, that He can't rescue me. I don't worry about that because I know what the Bible says. And whenever an imagination comes that exalts itself against that knowledge that says, oh, look what you did. Oh, look, you gossiped about something. Oh, look, you're proud. Oh, look, right? I say, well, yeah, you're right. I'm an idiot. But my salvation is secure in Him, right? My mind has been renewed to the idea that I am saved and that I am secure and that God has me and that I can trust in Him. And that's the beginning for all of us in our relationship with God. That is the starting point where we receive salvation. We receive it by faith through grace. And we know that we have to get used to the idea that somebody could love us in spite of. And then when we get our minds trained to the idea that God loves us in spite of everything, we walk in the freedom of it. How many promises do we have in the Bible that God has told us, this is what I promised you? And because of arguments that come against us, we accept where we are and we do not renew our minds to understand, just the same way we had to come and understand our salvation, that we understand all these other promises. We need to tear down the strongholds in our mind that tell us that God's word is not true, that it's too good to be true, that it can't be possible. Look at your circumstance. Look at your situation. Look how much you've failed, how much you've let God. How would you think that God would want to do that for you? It's right here. This is our hope. This is, the Bible says that He became flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? That His Word is, the Bible said He's even exalted His word, this word, above His own name. And the Bible said that the name of Jesus is the highest authority in the universe. So if He's exalted, if Jesus has said His word is even above His name, then we can rely that every promise in the book is mine. every chapter, every verse, every line. It's ours. It belongs to us. And so we have to renew our minds to this thought, to this idea. But we don't just renew our minds by trying in our own flesh and in our own strength to make that happen. We do it because there's power in the Word of God. The power of God is in His Word to transform our lives. It's not just thinking a positive thought. It's not just sending positive thoughts your way. It's the Word of God, the power of God that transforms our hearts. We pull down the strongholds that are in our hearts and in our lives, and we build a fortress of God's Word in our hearts. We all live in this natural world, yet many of our problems are not natural or physical. And we try to fight these battles from a natural and physical perspective. We try and get through it by sheer force of will or by power of our own flesh. But the truth is that many times these battles and the problems we're facing are neither physical or natural, but they're spiritual and mental. And so we have to fight these battles from a spiritual perspective and from a mental perspective. We have to change the way we think about what is real and what is truth. So the battle you're in is not one that can be won by fighting with our flesh and blood, but by the Spirit and by the renewing of our minds. The weapons that we fight with are from God, and they're created to win the battle. We do not, it's not an even battle we're in. It's not like, I remember when the first Iraq war started. You know, the first war in Iraq with George Bush Jr., right? I remember watching the news as that battle was getting ready to unfold. And the news guy said, as he was looking across, they were looking at the battlefield and the lines being drawn. And he said, on one side, you know, Saddam Hussein is lined up with ready for World War II. And on the other side, the Allies are lined up for World War III. It was like there was not an equal battle. And we found out, you know, after a few weeks of war that it was not an equal battle. Well, the battle we're in is not equal. The enemy we face is not our superior. The enemy we face is inferior, and we win. The battle is ours. The Bible says the battle is the Lord's, right? And so we rely on Him, and by the power of His Word and by the power of His might, we win these battles. It's God's Word in our hearts that pulls down strongholds. The weapon that we use is the Word of God, and it is specifically designed to pull down the strongholds and stubborn thoughts in your minds. These strongholds or these stubborn thoughts we're talking about here are called arguments and imaginations that are contrary to or against the Word of God. Right? So, if the Bible says that by His stripes we are healed, right? Then the argument that we are sick and going to die is an argument that's contrary to what God's Word says. So we believe God's Word. So we plant God's Word in our heart. We think about who God is. We think about Jesus who died on the cross and took the stripes. The Bible said that He was wounded for our transgressions, that He was bruised for our iniquities, that the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. In Peter, he quotes the prophet Isaiah, but he changes it. He says, because Jesus had already died, and by His stripes we were healed. So we live in a place of already being healed. And that's biblical truth that doesn't make sense to our natural mind. When I feel sick, I feel sick. You tell me I'm healed, I go, yeah, right. It doesn't feel healed. But the truth is that the Bible says that by His stripes we were healed. So the stronghold, right? Or so when the Bible says that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, when we're struggling financially, when we can't get it together, when we can't find that job we need, when we can't get that opportunity we need, the truth of God's word says that He will supply our needs. The thoughts we have go like this. Well, this is how much I owe a month, and this is how much I make a month, and I'm trying to find something else, but this doesn't work. Now, just really help yourself with this, because that's something Christine and I had to come to grips with years ago, right? Get on a budget. Live within your means. Decide what is what you need and what is what you want, and put your wants aside sometimes and just live according to your needs, right? And then trust God. Trust God, because you might not think there's an opportunity for you, but God has opportunities for you. I've seen people walk out of one job and really in a bad economy walk into another job that wasn't really there until they walked out of the one. So these arguments in our mind that I can't make it, I can't get there, I can't, like, you know, this one gift my parents gave me when we were younger is they taught us to be givers, right? They taught us to give and they taught us to trust God. And many times growing up, we saw God's provision in miraculous ways for our life, right? As I said, we didn't have a lot, but all our needs were always met. God always came through. And so, like, I always have trusted God because that was my learned behavior, that God would come through. When I pray for you and ask, most of you know this, but I'll tell you, trust God. Let's trust God together. Let's trust God. Let's trust God. Let's trust Him. Let's believe. Let's trust, right? Let's actually believe that God has us. And that's what we learned growing up. I remember the one time Christine and I were in a really tight financial place because I hurt myself, was off work for 4 months. She was working, you know, in a minimum wage job, and we just bought a house. We were out of money. We had some money put away. We ran out of money. And I'm like, God, You promised. And we were going to church in the morning. We didn't have our mortgage for Monday morning. We need to pay our mortgage. And you know, someone came up to me and said, hey, God told me you need some money. How much you need? And so I told them, and they wrote a check, and we paid our mortgage the next day. This is what God can do, right? But we have to pull down the strongholds in our mind and believe that what God's word really says is truth. The strongholds that you allow to remain will keep you from much of what God has planned for you and what God has planned for your life. So you need to pull down the strongholds as though your life depended on it, because it does. You can live in the life. We've talked about this. You don't have to change. Totally your choice. And you'll go to heaven. Like, honestly, if you love Jesus, you're going to go to heaven, and we get to heaven, it's all going to be good. I mean, I read the Bible, and it says, well, there's some rewards, extra rewards for those. But I'm like, to me, I don't know. Heaven's heaven. Like, I don't care if I got the gold driveway or if I got the pave. I don't care. Like, I just want to be in heaven, right? But so heaven is heaven. But like, we are promised some life here on earth, and so we need to walk in that. We could walk in that. And as I've said, not for us, but for others. We need to believe that we could be. Bible is the truth, right? And when you know the truth will set you free. God knows. God loves you. He forgives you. He's giving you all the power you need to live beyond, to leave that behind. And so you know that you aren't the only one. You're not the only one, guys. If you're in this, you're not the only one. But Jesus has given you everything you need to be free, so be free. As you keep applying the truth of God's word to your life, right, you start taking down the stronghold brick by brick, thought by thought, and you go somewhere, you go to someone for help when you're struggling, confess your sins to one another, and get free. Next thing you know, you're living free and in a passionate relationship with Jesus. But maybe your struggle isn't porn. Maybe your struggle is depression. Maybe you just feel like life is not fair all the time, and you've just allowed yourself to sink into a pit of depression, that nothing's going to work for me, nothing's going to be right, nothing's going to go right. No, research the Bible. See what the Bible has to say. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when you're feeling down and out, you can go to the Word of God and say, the joy, Fill me with your joy, Lord. The joy of the Lord gives me the strength to get through this. The Bible said he's the glory and the lifter of our head. The idea of a lifted head is to be able to look up and to feel confident and to feel loved. The idea, so when someone feels not confident, their head will be down. But when they feel confident and loved, they'll look up. And we need to know that God is the glory and the lifter of our head. You know, maybe your struggle is sickness and you need to just really understand what God's word says about healing. Whatever the stronghold for you. Whether it is like, you know, just marriage problems. Everybody in your family has been divorced, or almost everybody in your family has been divorced. And so that's just our family. That's how we live. That's how we roll. That's what we do. Right? There's no hope for me. You need to tear that stronghold down brick by brick. The argument that God can't forgive needs to be pulled down. The argument that you can't be free needs to be pulled down. The argument that you can't be joyful, that you can't be filled with His joy, needs to be pulled down. It's not true. It's a lie. The truth is in the Word of God. It needs to have every stronghold needs to have the battering ram of God's Word beating down its front gate. Every stronghold needs to be assaulted by the Word of God. This is not a let's go out and have a nice quiet talk about this stronghold, and maybe if I talk nice and ask it nicely, it'll go away. This is a war. This is a battering ram. This is an assault on the way we think. We need to assault our wrong thinking with God's Word. So just a few steps, I'm going to go quick, about how to you know, get rid of these stubborn thoughts or deal with these stubborn thoughts. First of all, be aware of what you're thinking and why. Be aware of what you're thinking and why. I think that I could probably say with confidence that most people don't think about what they think or how they act. Most people allow their minds to drift all the time. I personally dream a lot. Like, I'm a dreamer. I dream every night. I have, like, awesome dreams. They're weird and they're wild and they're fun. It's like I'm a, you know, James Bond or something. I have these great dreams and I'm all just woohoo. And when I get waken up in the middle of my dream, I'm disappointed. I want to close my eyes, go back to sleep, finish my dream. I want to finish my dream. And sometimes that's good and sometimes not so good. But, like, we need to start thinking about what we're thinking and why we're thinking it. We need to capture, the Bible says, our thoughts. We need to lay hold of them and understand, right? Most of us don't often stop to figure out why we do what we do or don't do, right? The things that make our life better. Why do we just settle? Why do we just settle for life the way it is? Why do we just fall into the same old trap time after time after time? Does anybody have any kind of way of thinking that you went, oh, I did it again? Anybody? I can't believe I went down that same path again. I have that. Like, many times I'll be driving along and go, Ralph, don't be an idiot. Come on. You know better than this. Right? I don't know. Am I the only one that talks to myself? Am I the only one that has a whole conversation going with myself? No. Don't tell anyone. I don't want to go away. But in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, pulling down strongholds or down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. We need to become aware of what we're thinking. Then we need to capture every thought and bring it into alignment with the truth of God's Word. So that's a big thing, right? Like, this is not like, okay, I'm going to do this about everything today, right? Because if you bite off more than you can chew, you'll last till probably two, right? You won't last. But, like, you ever hear of interval training, anybody? That's where you burn really hard for a minute or two, and then you go slow for a little while, and then you burn hard again. Well, take one thought that's a struggle for you and just really focus on that thought and what God's word has to say about it. And stay focused for like a couple of hours on that. And then just relax. And then focus. And then relax. But just take some time to start working on those stubborn thoughts. Does anybody have stubborn thoughts? Anybody here? Like, honestly, do you? Like, can I see hands? Because, like, I'm not trying to be, I don't want to just be talking to me, right? I don't need to preach to me. I've already been doing that all week. So we need to, like, know, right, what those stubborn thoughts are. And then we need to get into God's word and learn how to fight those thoughts. I remember when we just started out, you know, working for the church. And came on staff at the church here was just when Levi was just born that year. And so we were like, I took a big cut in pay. We had rented out a student apartment in our basement. The student in our basement flooded our basement, ruined our basement. We lost that income source. And we were just trying to get by. Like, really. We were tight. Like, really tight. Like, we were living every month to month, right? We didn't have any savings. And so whenever we got toward the end of the month when all our bills were coming up, I was getting uptight. Like, when I'm uptight, I'm not really a very nice person. I'm a little bit ugly. Like, so I get, like, kind of really, you know, ugh. And because I really never knew where we were exactly with it, I just sort of knew what came in, what went out. We tried not to spend more than we could, you know, or should. And then we would get flyers in the mail. And my wife has never been a spender. She's never been a spender, never. Like, if I say, go spend money, she'll be like, okay, and then she won't. Like, she just doesn't. She just doesn't like spending money, you know. But we get these flyers in the mail, and she would look through the flyers, and she'd go, well, it'd be really nice if we could have this, you know, somewhere down the road. Or we could really use that. And I'd be like, oh, right, because I'm thinking about the end of the month. I'm thinking, oh, no, she's going to go out and buy that porch swing, or she's going to go do this or do that. And I just got more and more and more and more and more worked up. And every month, as soon as we got through the first of the month, and I could just, and then by the end of the month, I'd be all wound up again. And then the end of the month, right? And that's how I lived for years, like until, you know, we found the book, Dave Ramsey Ruined My Life. And I mean, Dave Ramsey, Christy hates when I say that. But like, we just found the book, you know, Total Money Makeover. And we just started budgeting. And we already knew that we were going to trust God. We already gave our tithe. Even if we didn't have any money for ourselves, we would tithe. We would do that. And we knew what God's word said. But then we started taking care of things. And we started being able to track and so to the point now where we have money in the bank, and you know, like we can live fairly free. We're doing good. but we had to learn to walk in the freedom that my God will supply all my needs. I gotta do my part. I'm gonna tell you this honestly. You have to do something too. Like you can't go spending like a wild person and then expect that God's just gonna keep throwing money at your craziness, honestly, because it is crazy. When we're buying and buying and buying and buying, trying to make our emptiness or our you know, fill it with money, Ed just said it this morning, don't, you know, fall into the trap that money's going to solve your problems, that you can find, you know, peace in the fleeting of money, right? But so the question I have is, do you think more about your problems or do you think more about your promises? What do you focus your mind on? Do you focus on the problem or do you focus on the problem? If you could put a scale up here and you could pack the time you spend on your problem, thinking about your problems on this side and your promises on this side, which way would the scale tip? Like, what are you believing? Are you believing the problem or are you going after the promise? Because the promise is for you, right? And so when we're thinking about our money, our marriage, our kids, our job, are you thinking about them in a positive or a negative way? Are you worrying about the problems in those areas, or are you worrying about the promise, right? Worrying about the promise is just meditating on God's goodness, right? So are you aware of how much more you think about your problems instead of your promises. Are you aware of this? Because you need to be aware if you are. So here's an example, and this is a pretty good example, I think. It's income tax time, right? And like a lot of people that work a full-time job, that you pay your regular tax, and at the end of the year you get your T4, and it's pretty simple, right? If you're a believer and you're a tither, usually at this time of the year you're going to get a tax refund check. Anybody going to get a tax refund check? I'm going to get one. It's going to be great. And when I get a tax refund check, I'm always kind of excited because then I can plan some things out. Like Christine, we're celebrating our 25th this year, and we're planning on going away in May just to go celebrate our 25th anniversary. And so we're getting our income tax check. We have some money, but we're going to have an income tax check too. We're going to go somewhere nice and sunny and sandy, and it's going to be great, right? But so many of us, though, when we find out how much money we're going to get back for income tax, we start thinking about what bill we're going to pay off. We start thinking about what holiday we're going to plan, or what car we're going to buy, or what we're going to do with that money. And we feel secure that that is coming our way. So we really kind of enjoy and dream and think about that as a real positive thing in our life. Right? Well, let me tell you this. God's word is far more dependable than the Canadian government. Right? So are you thinking about the promise that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory? If you're worried about money right now, why don't you take some time and think about that promise? How could God? I remember when we were kids, you know, like my parents, we had a time on the farm where we didn't have money and the bill was coming up, and I was driving with my dad and we were praying in the truck that God would provide our need. And then my mom comes out of the house, she's waving a check, and we needed, I think, $2,000, and it was a check for $2,400, right? Well, what happened is my grandparents lived in an apartment on our house, no charge, right? But my grandfather had felt 24 months before that he should start putting $100 away a month, because that someday mom and dad would need that money. And without them saying it, without them asking, he picked that time to come over and bring that money. And so they had prepared, God had prepared 24 months ahead for the problem they were facing that day. And God, my God, supplied all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So are you thinking about the promise and how God might come across for you? Or are you thinking about the problem and how you're never going to get through it? We need to focus our thoughts. Oh, I have lots to get through. You know what? Let's call her done.